Hello, this is Miss Alexis, and you're listening to D&D Investigations Pilot Episode, a collaboration between myself and Castaway, here for your listening pleasure.
They say that 99% of people masturbate and the other 1% are liars. But as Han Solo, captain of the Millennium Falcon, used to say in a galaxy far, far away, never give me the odds. And while math was never my strong subject, human sexual behavior always was. Perhaps that explains the fact that, when I ultimately ended up pursuing a psychology degree, I raced to the chapters on deviant sexuality and paraphilia. And while it was Sigmund Freud who once said, "Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar," I'm not sure that Billy Clinton would agree. Anyway, despite these pursuits of higher education, when it came to choosing a career, I also dealt with some pressures to get into the family business. The police force. And I know what you're thinking. What family pushes their daughter into a life of fighting crime? Well, you haven't met this rough-and-tumble brood. No eggheads or Susie homemakers at our family reunions. As I was promoted up the precinct hierarchy, I discovered that I loved the work of investigation, though I seemed to have a certain predilection toward crimes involving sexual vice. I must admit that a time or two being at a crime scene and looking for that angle when it indeed was not there. This investigative habit ultimately came to a head with, of all things, the crime of the century, the Lindbergh baby kidnapping. Now, the hysteria generated from a case like this fishes up a lot of red herrings. But that being said, I certainly wasn't looked upon too fondly within the ranks when I diverted much of the precinct's resources in the early goings, trying to uncover a group of possible Lindbergh-fronted fetish clubs in Hackensack to tie into the case. Unsurprisingly, to my lieutenant, it was an investigatory dead end, and soon after, so was my career in the police force. That's when I decided to pack it up and move to La La Land, Los Angeles, the City of Angels. I had an ex-beau of mine out there, named Ron Johnson, with an upstart private investigations office, naturally named Johnson & Johnson, though I prefer to call him Johnny. He hates it when I do that. Incidentally, he had no nominal partner. The latter Johnson was a cheeky reference to his beautiful 9-inch cock. Ron had said he would be able to put me up while I looked for something more permanent, so I went out to see him. He showed me around his office. The furnishings were modest, and his appointment book appeared even more so. As we did some catching up over some single malt scotch, I noticed he started giving me the big eye, as if he wanted to take this rendezvous and really make a reunion out of it. Being new in town, I was considering getting dolled up a bit and heading out on the prowl. But knowing what Ron has underneath his briefs, why go out for a hamburger when I can have a tube steak in my snatch? Never being the most patient sort, he suggested we take advantage of the hourly rate at the seedy motel. It all went well enough. In fact, it was just like I remembered. He wanted it rough, and I only got rougher. We were always at odds, even in the bedroom. Just when I thought the old dog was out of tricks, he went and sprung a new one on me. Dead wood, I think he called it. Johnny? Johnny, get up. Come on, Johnny, this isn't funny anymore. No pulse, eh? Not that you ever had one to begin with. Well, how do you like that? See if I ever pay you a visit anytime soon. Well, Lexi, old girl, now you've gone and done it. What have you gotten yourself into? Looks like Johnny's checked out and stiffed you. If this is your way of leaving me stuck with the bill, you cheap bastard, I'll be sure to send you a copy care of the devil himself. Now who could be ringing me at a time like this? Hello?
This is the police. We know you've got a body in there. Got a call from Mrs. Seedy. She says she'd recognize that sex anywhere, even from 3 floors up.
All All right, all right. Don't get your knickers in a wad. I'm not decent. Give me a moment, and I'll be right down. What do you mean, stay that way? Official police business. Now, see here, I... Yes? Yes? Oh, all right. But only given the circumstances. Now, as I looked at this lifeless cadaver that was enraptured in the throes of pleasure not 5 minutes ago, even my seen-it-all natural disposition was thrown a bit. Certainly, it was no ideal way to introduce myself to the local authorities. Fortunately, they took my testimony and released me of my own recognizance. Now, I'm not a devout practitioner of religion, but I always kind of like the credo of, when God closes the door, he opens up a window. Ron had no heirs or relatives, and looking through his books, I saw that his business was actually turning a shy profit. Despite the sexually charged trauma I had just unfortunately inflicted on Ron Johnson, and Johnson, the craven opportunist in me could not ignore the idea of trying to pick up his professional slack. Given my investigative background and kinky disposition, I figured, much like the credo of about 50 investigation shows, I could fill the niche of, if you want to find a deviant, you hire a deviant. After all, I had just solved my first West Coast mystery in the death of Ron Johnson. The Kegels did it. Down and Dirty Investigations, Private Snatch.
Will clients notice a change in management at Johnson & Johnson Investigations? In the Ron Johnson death, who in the forensic unit drew the long straw and got to perform the investigation on Alexis' person? And why couldn't it have been me? Was H.L. Mencken right? Was the Lindbergh baby kidnapping truly the biggest story since the resurrection? Answers to these questions, and most certainly other questions, may be revealed in the next episode of Alexis Keaton, Private Dick.
Private Snatch.
Private Snatch.
This is Miss Alexis. I can be reached at 800-601-7259. Or you can check out my blog at www.sensualphonemistress.com.